Blog Talk Radio.
You're again now. I'm to give you more, more of my time. Don Corleone again. Give me a moment just to remind you of the love we've not made before. The reason you can't close this door, I see confusion in your eyes. And maybe you're a little surprised the way we make love under the moonlight. Tomorrow you'll see the new light. Come away in a dream. This world, it's not what it seems. There be no gold at the end of the rainbow. Birds don't fly anywhere that they you happy home, happy home. You shouldn't be me bonify. Nothing in this world can justify. Loving on your heart for I and I. It's you and I, baby. Maybe it's a fate, a time of simply be waiting. Is it chance to brought us together? We can go in search of forever. Love is getting stronger every day. Ooh, see the future in your eyes. Stronger, stronger every day. My love keeps growing, getting stronger each day. Come away in a dream. This world, it's not what it seems. There be no gold at the end of the rainbow. Birds don't fly anywhere that the wind blows. Come away in a dream. Life is not what it seems. Happily don't always live forever, but my love is getting.
Peace to the gods. Peace to the gods, man. What's going on, Kalam?
Peace to the gods. Peace to the gods, Trayvon. What's good?
Oh, man, I'm here, man. I'm here. You know, man, alive. Not all the way well, but I am alive. You know, man, working back toward. Kind of building my strength back up, but yeah, man, I'm alive, man.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing beautiful, brother. I'm doing beautiful and present, great and lovely. Everything good, all good.
Oh, man, that's good to hear, man. That's wonderful to hear, man. Yeah, so.
Yes, sir.
Man, we're here today with, man, Hysterical Monday, man. Man, I really didn't just kind of go into depth in the chest, man, but I'm going to kind of let you, man, control everything while I kind of sit back and listen with you, man.
Yes, sir. I'm going to keep you unmuted, so whenever you want to punch in, you can punch in whenever. I already know the situation.
Okay, man. I appreciate that, brother. I appreciate it.
No problem. So, like J-Rock said, we are on historical Mondays today. And today we're going to go into some historical events, some historical books. And a lot of people might be like, well, about the things that we did talk about previously on the show, how is these things historical? These things is very historical because they setting out spirituality. They setting out laws. These is without these things in existence, it would be almost like chaos in a way. It would be no organized. It would be barbarous, pretty much. But yeah, we're talking about the Torah, the Pentateuch, and also the Talmud. So we're going to go into those today, get a better explanation and an interpretation of these things. So it's just an overview. You can always go deeper into these things. We only have a time for overview. It's an hour. A show is just an overview. But let's go ahead and go inside the private chat. And our first definition would be, we'll go to the Pentateuch. Pentateuch. And Pentateuch is spelled Pentateuch. It says Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, those traditionally ascribed to Moses, c 1400. Pentateuch, from late Latin Pentateuchus, Tertullian, c 207, from Greek Pentateuchus, c 160. Originally an adjective abstracted from phrase Pentateuchus Biblos, from pent, five, from pi root penqui, five, plus tukos, implement, vessel, gear. In late Greek book, via notion of case for scrolls, literally anything produced, related to tukin, to make ready, from pi, to produce something of utility, see doti, glossed in Old English as febek, related pentateuchal. And we're going to go scroll all the way down like we always do. Pentateuch, noun, the first of three divisions of the Hebrew scriptures, comprising the first five books of the Hebrew Bible considered as a unit. And at the bottom of that, it says synonyms, Torah, and it says laws. So we're going to go back into the private chat, and we're going to get the definition of Torah, because it also just mentioned the Torah in the synonym area. So let's go ahead and click Torah inside of the chat. And Torah is spelled T-O-R-A-H. And it says Torah, noun, the Pentateuch, in quotations, 1570s, from Hebrew Torah, literally instruction, law, verbal noun from Hora, he taught, showed. So we will go ahead and go down, like we always do, definitions of Torah. Torah noun, the whole body of the Jewish sacred writings and tradition, including the oral tradition. The first of three divisions of the Hebrew scriptures, comprising the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, considered as a unit. Torah, Judaism, the scroll of parchment on which the first five books of the Hebrew scripture is written, is used in a synagogue during services. So yeah, that was the Torah, aka the Pentateuch. You know, instruction, law, he taught. And we're going to go back inside the private chat, Ken. Let's see what we got here. All right. And we also got this other word we wanted to go over. But we'll go over that after we go into these other books. We're going to go into the five books of law, or what they were called, the Pentateuch. So the first etymology definition we're going to go into is Genesis. And Genesis is spelled G-E-N-E-S-I-S. Genesis, noun. Old English Genesis, first book of the Pentateuch, which tells, among other things, of the creation of the world. From Latin, Genesis, generation, nativity. In late Latin, taken as the title of first book of the Old Testament. From Greek, Genesis, origin, creation, generation. From gignesthai, to be born, related to genos, race, birth, descent. From pi root, gene, give birth, beget, with derivatives referring to procreation and familial and tribal groups. Greek translators used the word as the title of the biblical book, rendering Hebrew Bereshith. And Bereshith is spelled B-E-R-E-S-H-I-T-H, literally in the beginning, which was the first word of the text, taken as its title. Extended sense of origin, creation, first recorded in English, c. 1600. I'm going to go ahead and scroll all the way down. It says Genesis, a coming into beginning, synonyms, generation. It says Genesis, noun, the first book of the Old Testament, tells of creation, Adam and Eve, and the fall of man, and Cain and Abel, and Noah, and the flood, and God's covenant with Abraham, and Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and Esau, and Joseph and his brothers. All right, now, and that was Genesis, the first book of the Pentateuch.
Question, God, not to cut you off, but for some strange reason, I don't see where they mentioned the Bible. None of that.
Is that
Oh, yeah. Know, like, I haven't seen that, you know. Well, it wasn't a question. It was just really a statement, my fault. But I didn't see where they mentioned, like, the Bible, the book that most Christians refer to.
Right. I mean, they said it, like, I guess if people would look at it in a way, I guess they would say, like, I know they did mention, like, the Old Testament.
Right. Old Testament. I did see that.
Yeah. So, but they don't necessarily say the word Bible.
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
Yes, sir.
No. Yeah, I was just throwing that out, but you know, I noticed that I didn't notice it. You see what I'm saying? So.
Right, right. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. So I'm right here pouring this tea up. But yeah, we can go ahead and go into the private chat again. Remember that was the first book of the Pentateuch. So we're going to go ahead and click the other book, the second book, which is Exodus. And it says, and Exodus is spelled E-X-O-D-U-S. Late Old English, the second book of the Old Testament, from Latin, Exodus, from Greek, Exodus, a military expedition, solemn procession, departure, and death, literally a going out, from X, out, CX, hapdos, a way, path, road, and a ride, journey, march, figuratively, way out, means a word of uncertain origin. The book is so called because it tells of the departure of the Israelites from Egypt under the leadership of Moses. General sense with lowercase e, departure from a place, especially the migration of large bodies of people or animals from one country or region to another, is from 1620s. Beaks derives the Greek words from pi, sword, course, and says it is traditionally connected with Slavic words for course, such as Russian, zoid, or XOD. Course progress, which might have been borrowed from Iranian, and adds that it is perhaps also related to Sanskrit, a sad, to tread on, go on, avastin, apahat, to go away, and become weak. But the relation between them is unclear, as is the connection to the pi root said, sit, proposed in Watkins, etc. Gonna scroll all the way down. Exodus. Noun, a journey by a large group to escape from a hostile environment. Got the synonyms at the bottom. Hegira, which is H-E-G-I-R-A. And we're going to go down to now, Exodus, the second book of the Old Testament, tells the departure of the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt led by Moses, and God gave them the Ten Commandments and the rest of Mosaic law on Mount Sinai during the Exodus. So, real quick, I seen it. They say once they give them the messages on Mount Sinai, right? And Mount Sinai is spelled S-I-N-A-I. Now, in the same dictionary, the etymology dictionary, I'm going to go ahead and type in Sinai as well, which is spelled S-I-N-A-I. And it says the mountain is perhaps named for Sin, a moon goddess worshipped by Sumerians, Akkadians, and ancient Arabs as an adjectival form, Sinia. Sinaitic. 1769. Sinaitic. 1786. And go down, it says Sinai. Noun, a mountain peak in the southern Sinai Peninsula. 7,500 feet high. It is believed to be the peak on which Moses received the Ten Commandments. And it says synonym, Mount Sinai. Noun, Sinai, a desert on the Sinai Peninsula or peninsula in northeastern Egypt. A peninsula in northeastern Egypt and at north end of the Red Sea. But yeah, that was just Sinai. Found it interesting that they say perhaps named for Sin, and the moon goddess right. worshipped by the Sumerians, Akkadians, and ancient Arabs. But we're gonna go ahead and go into the private chat and go into the third book of the Pentateuch, also known as the Torah. So it says Leviticus, and Leviticus is spelled L-E-V-I-T-I-C-U-S, third book of the Pentateuch, C, 1400, from late Latin, Leviticus, and it has in parentheses Liber, which is spelled L-I-B-E-R, literally book of the Levites, from Greek to Leutikon, Biblion, from Leuitus, from Hebrew Lui, see Levi. Alright, it says see Levi, so I'm going to just go ahead and read Levi real quick. And it says, Levi, masculine proper name, biblical son of Jacob by Leah, from Hebrew, Lui, literally joining, pledging, attached, from stem of Lawa, he joined. So Levi is like a join and attach. And I continue to read Leviticus. I'll go back and continue to read Leviticus. It says, properly, the part of the Pentateuch dealing with the function of the priests who were of the tribe of Levi. A portion of the tribe acted as assistants to the priests in the temple worship. The Hebrew title is Torah, Kohenim, literally the law of the priests. And we go down all the way at the bottom, and it says Leviticus, the third book of the Old Testament, contains Leviticus law and ritual proceedings. And it says book of Leviticus, right? And it says a portion of the tribe acted as assistant to the priest in the temple worship. And this was the third book of the Pentateuch, Leviticus. All right, let's go ahead and go back into the private chat again. And they don't necessarily say that this one, which is Numbers is supposed to be the fourth book, but it don't, inside etymology, it doesn't say like the fourth book, but it doesn't say Numbers with an S for some reason. So it could have been called something else. Now, not 100% sure, but anyway, we're still going to read the etymology of number. So it says number, noun, C1300, some aggregation of collection. From Anglo-French, nombre, Old French, nombre, and directly from Latin, numerus, a number of quantity. From pi root nem, a sign, a lot, and tape, meaning writing symbol or figure of arithmetic value, is from late 14th century, meaning single number, issue of a magazine, is from 1795, colloquial sense of a person or thing, is by 1894, meaning dialing, combination to which a particular telephone receiver, is from 1879. Hence wrong number 1886. The modern meaning musical selection 1885 is from vaudeville theater programs. Where acts were marked by a number. Earlier numbers meant metrical sound or utterance, measured or harmonic expression. Late 15th century and from 1580s, poetical measure, poetry verse. Number one, oneself, is from 1704. Mark Italian from numero uno, attested from 1973. The biblical book of numbers, okay, there it is, C1400, Latin numeri, Greek arithmo, is so called because it begins with a census of the Israelites. Childish slang number one, and number two for urination and defecation, attested from 1902. Number cruncher is 1966 of machines, 1971 of persons to get or have someone's number. Have someone figure out is attested from 1853 to say one's number is up, 1806, meaning one's time has come, is a reference to the numbers on a lottery draft, etc. The numbers illegal lottery is from 1897. American English. And it goes on. That was the number noun. This one is the verb. So it says number verb. C1300, to count. From Old French nombrer, to count, reckon, from nombre, noun, number, see number, noun, meaning to assign a distinctive number to, distinctive number two, is late 14th century, that of to ascertain the number of, is from early 15th century, related, numbered, and numbering. And we go all the way down real quick. Read the bottom. It says noun, number, the property possessed by a sum of total or indefinite quantity of units or individuals. A concept of quantity involving zero and units. A short performance that is part of a longer program. The number is used in calling a particular telephone. A symbol used to represent a number. One of a series published periodically. A select company of people. A numeral or string of numerals that is used for identification and may be attached to accounts, memberships, etc. A clothing measurement. A number item and series. The grammatical categories for the forms of nouns and pronouns and verbs that are used depending on the number of entities involved, singular or dual or plural. An item of clothing. Okay, and now it says number verb. Add up in number or quantity. Give numbers to enumerate. Put into a group. Determine the number or amount of. Place a limit on the number of. Now we're going to go back into the private chat. That was actually numbers or number. Also, the fourth book of the Pentateuch, also known as the Torah. So let's go back inside the private chat. For all of those who just came inside the private, well, not the private call, but the call lines, and the private chat, and also the public chat are on Historical Mondays. We're talking about the Torah, the Pentateuch, and the Talmud. Just getting a basic interpretation. Always can go deeper inside of it, for sure. So, we're on the fifth book, and it says Deuteronomy, noun. And Deuteronomy is spelled Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, noun. Fifth book of the Pentateuch. Late 14th century, Deuteronomy, Wycliffe. From late Latin, Deuteronomium. From ecclesiastical Greek, Deuteronomion. Literally, second law. From Deuteros, second, Deutero. Nomos, law. From Pi, root, Nem, assign, allot, and take. A mistranslation of Hebrew, Meshne, Hatorah, Hazah. A copy of this law. Deuteronomy 18. The book is a repetition with comments of the Decalogue, and most of the laws of Exodus. The title was translated literally into Old English as Aftere. By Aftere, literally after law, C-A-I, related to Deuteronomical. And we're going to scroll all the way down, and it says Deuteronomy now, the fifth book of the Old Testament, and contains a second statement of Mosaic law. So yeah, Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Pentateuch, also known as the second law, or literally known as the second law. It's definitely intriguing, you know. Not ready to get into the show. We're at the half an hour mark. So, and you know, our breaks don't be too long. We go into like a 3 to 4 minute break. Hey, God, anything you wanna? You have any inputs or anything?
Nah, man, I feel like it's very intriguing, man, and very informational. I mean, I've never actually studied the Torah or the, what is it pronounced, the Pentateuch?
Yeah, Pentateuch.
Pentateuch.
I'm probably not even pronouncing it all the way right.
But, you know, hey, this is very intriguing to me, man. So I'm waiting. I'm just sitting back listening, man, you know, as you guide this show.
Yes, sir. All right, for sure. Well, yeah, we would have gone to the quick break and then be right back, and then we can get into it on a deeper scale than the definitions.
Peace
right,
to
then,
the
well,
gods.
Peace to the gods. Peace.
Oh, you crying. When I saw it, oh, oh, yeah. cardio, nobody be born. Tell them to call now. Them say at 2012, the world is gonna end. What are we doing? Can it be stopped? Hey, it's not a strategy to rule entirely. Bob Marley say, none of them can stop Jaja time. Mountains may be steep, rivers may be deep. Just take your time, we will cross with faith in us. As long as the sun shines, there's hope for mankind. We will survive, yeah. Save the world, save the people. Jah more than ever, humanity needs you. Save the world, save the people. Message will reach you. Then find what happened more. The hurts are gonna destroy soon. If you don't have a ticket, you don't have a chance to do the dividend. Prepare to eat before it's too late. From Africa with open gates, with open arms, welcome one and all.
We are back. Hey, Kalam, just real quick, for those who are online, if you do want to call in, the call-in number is 563-999-3670. And for anybody that would like to see where we are reading from, and you would like to get inside the private chat with us, send us an email at fortheloveofcommerce@gmail.com. And commerce is commerce, at gmail.com. That's all I wanted to throw out there, God, man. I'm going to stand down and let you take back over, man.
Yeah, thanks, God. Thanks, God, for sure. Yeah, and also, to re-incite everybody who just came in, to give them a clarification about what we're talking about today on Historical Mondays, is we're talking about the Torah, the Pentateuch, and the Talmud. We didn't go into the definition of Talmud before the break, but we'll definitely go into the Talmud. And also, we know that these Pentateuch is known as the five books of Moses, right? And also really the laws. So on our previous show on Historical Mondays, which people can always go back into the archives to listen to the books. Hey guys, you got a little bit of feedback.
Okay, let me move that.
Yeah, but the Pentateuch, if you can go back to one of our previous shows, we also go into religion, religious, and religiosity. And we go into that word as well. And it also said that religion always been a part of the laws. Or really, the laws has always been a part of religion, you know? And those things together, you know, has always pretty much existed. So when there was religion, there was definitely law, and it has, and we can see right now that they have significance and essential, and they are essential when used together. You don't want to do separation, because then it becomes, instead of it being a divine law, it starts to be man law, or inferior law, or a lower law, set of laws, like what we go through somewhat today to day, or some people go through some day to day, which is like statutory things that can be adjusted by man, humans. But anyway, let's go ahead and jump right back into the private chat, so we can get the definition of the Talmud. So we're going to go into the private chat. We're going to go into etymology, definition of Talmud. And Talmud is spelled T-A-L-M-U-D. And it says Talmud, noun, body of Jewish traditional, ceremonial, and civil law, 1530s, 1530s from late Hebrew Talmud, and it says, quote, instructions, C, 1300 CE, from Lamed, he learned, related Talmudic, and Talmudus. And then we could go scroll all the way to the bottom, and it says Talmud, now, the collection of ancient rabbinic writings on Jewish law and tradition, the Mishnah and the Gemara that constitute the basis of religious authority in Orthodox Judaism. And yeah, that was the Talmud. Body of Jewish traditional, ceremonial, and civil law. And it also says that Talmud is the instruction. And we all know about civil law today and today basis. And people know about the laws of civil procedures. It's where it's civil. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and hop back into the private chat again, and we can go into the let's go jump straight into Wikipedia version of the Torah. So we're going to go straight into the Torah, and it says the Torah, Hebrew, instruction, teaching, or law. It's the compilation of the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, namely the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In that sense, Torah means the same as Pentateuch or the five books of Moses. It is also known in the Jewish tradition as the written Torah. Torah, and it says in parentheses, I'm pretty sure that's Hebrew, and it says Torah Shabbatav or Shibishtav or Shibishtav. If meant for liturgic purpose, It takes the form of a Torah scroll, Sefer Torah. If in bound book form, it is called Shamash. And let me read those letters for you, so you guys can search it up yourself, the ones who's listening. If meant for liturgic purposes, it takes the form of a Torah scroll, and it have in parentheses S-E-F-E-R space T-O-R-A-H, Sefer Torah. And it's also carry on to say, if in bound book form, it is called Shumash, Shumash, which is spelled C-H-U-M-A-S-H, and is usually printed with the rabbinic commentaries Perushim, which is spelled P-E-R-U-S-H-I-M. Right. And it has the Torah scroll at Old Glockengase Synagogue, Reconstruction, Cologne. And there's a picture of it up there. Also, the second picture, it says Silver Torah Case, Ottoman Empire, displayed in the Museum of Jewish Art and History. At times, however, the word Torah can also be used as a synonym for the whole of the Hebrew Bible or Tanakh. Tanakh is spelled T-A-N-A-K-H. In which sense, it includes not only the first five, but all 24 books of the Hebrew Bible. Finally, Torah can even mean the totality of Jewish teaching, culture, and practice, whether derived from biblical texts or later rabbinic writing. The latter is often known as the Oral Torah, representing the core of the Jewish spiritual and religious tradition. The Torah is a term and a set of teachings that are explicitly self-positioned as encompassing as many as 70 or potentially infinite faces and interpretations, making an unequivocal definition of Torah impossible. Common to all these meanings, the Torah consists of the origin of Jewish peoplehood, their call into being by God, their trials and tribulations, and their covenant with their God, which involves following a way of life embodied in a set of moral and religious obligations and civil laws. And in parentheses it say halakha, which is spelled H-A-L-A-K-H-A. The Torah, which that is spelled T-A-W-R-A-T. The Torah, also Torah or Torah, Arabic, is the Arabic name for the Torah within its context as an Islamic holy book believed by Muslims to be given by God to prophets among the children of Israel, and often refers to entire Hebrew Bible. In rabbinic literature, the word Torah denotes both the five books, Torah that is written, and the oral Torah that is spoken. The oral Torah consists of interpretations and amplifications which, according to rabbinic tradition, have been handed down from generation to generation and are now embodied in the Talmud, and Midrash. So the Talmud, T-A-L-M-U-D, and Midrash is M-I-D-R-A-S-H. Rabbinic traditions understanding is that all of the teachings found in the Torah, both written and oral, were given by God through the prophet Moses. Some at Mount Sinai and others at the tabernacle. And all the teachings were written down by Moses, which result in the Torah that exists today. All right, and it says, I want to search up that word tabernacle, but I'm going to do it in etymology. Let's see if they got it. And it's spelled T-A-B-E-R-N-A-C-L-E. Gotta see if we can pull that one up real quick. All right, it does pull it up. And it says tabernacle, noun. Mid-13th century, portable sanctuary carried by the Israelites in the wilderness. From Old French tabernacle, the Jewish tabernacle, and tent, canopy, tomb, monument. 12th century, from Latin tabernaculum, tent, especially a tent of an augur, which is spelled A-U-G-U-R, for taking observation. Diminutive of taberna, hut, cabin, booth, see tavern. Use of the word in English transferred late 14th century to the temple in Jerusalem, which continued its function. Sense of house of worship first recorded 1690s. Also in biblical language, the body as the temporary abode of the soul. Late 14th century, the Old Testament Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, mid-October, was observed as a thanksgiving for harvest. This was rendered in English, c. 1400, as Feast of Logs, and it have in parentheses, lodges, related tabernacular. And we scroll all the way to the bottom. It says tabernacle noun, Judaism, the place of worship for a Jewish congregation, say synonym, synagogue, temple. Then we go to finish read tabernacle noun, the Mormon temple. Judaism, a portable sanctuary in which the Jews carried the Ark of the Covenant on their exodus. Yeah, and that was the definition of tabernacle. The portable sanctuary carried by the Israelites in the wilderness. Also seen as the, you know, the a tent, canopy, tomb, or monument. So we're going to go back to the reading and continue where we left off. And it says, Rabbinic traditions, understanding is that all of the teachings found in the Torah, both written and oral, were given by God. Though the prophet Moses, some at Mount Sinai and others at the tabernacle, and all the teachings were written down by Moses, which resulted in the Torah that exists today. According to the Midrash, the Torah was created prior to the creation of the world and was used as the blueprint for creation. The majority of biblical scholars believe that the written books were a product of the Babylonian captivity, c. 6th century BCE. Based on earlier written sources and oral traditions, and that it was completed with final revisions during the post-exilic period. And post-exilic, P-O-S-T, and it has a hyphen, X, oh no, E-X-I-L-I-C, period. C, 5th century BCE. Traditionally, the words of the Torah are written on a scroll by a scribe, or it says sofer in parentheses in Hebrew, which is spelled S-O-F-E-R. A Torah portion is read publicly at least once every 3 days in the presence of congregation. Reading the Torah publicly is one of the basis of Jewish communal life. Yeah, and that was that. In the private, we're gonna go deeper into the Torah, because you know we got different links inside of there as well. Well, we can go over this part real quick. I'll read this real quick. It says, if we go down, you're gonna see a tab that says Torah and Judaism. And it says, rabbinic writings state that the oral Torah was given to Moses at Mount Sinai, which according to the tradition of Orthodox Judaism, occurred in 1312 BCE. The Orthodox rabbinic tradition holds that the written Torah was recorded during the following 40 years. Though many non-Orthodox Jewish scholars affirm the modern scholarly consensus that the written Torah has multiple authors and was written over centuries, the Talmud presents two opinions as to how exactly the Torah was written down by Moses. One opinion holds that it was written by Moses gradually as it was dictated to him and finished it close to his death. And the other opinion holds that Moses wrote the complete Torah in one writing close to his death, based on what was dictated to him over the years. The Talmud says that the last 8 verses of the Torah that discuss the death and burial of Moses could not have been written by Moses, as writing it would have been a lie, and that they were written after his death by Joshua. Abraham ibn Ezra and Joseph Bonfils observed that that phrases in those verses present information that people should only have known after the time of Moses. Ibn Ezra hinted, and Bonfils explicitly stated that Joshua wrote these verses many years after the death of Moses. Other commentators do not accept the position and maintain that although Moses did not write those 8 verses, it was nonetheless dictated to him that Joshua wrote it based on instructions left by Moses, and that the Torah often describes future events, some of which have yet to occur. All classical rabbinic views hold that the Torah was entirely Mosaic and of divine origin. Present-day Reform and liberal Jewish movements all reject Mosaic authorship, as do most shades of conservative Judaism. According to legends of the Jews, God gave Torah to the children of Israel after he approached every tribe and nation in the world and offered them the Torah, but the latter refused it so they might have no excuse to be ignorant about it. In this book, Torah is defined as one of the first things created as a remedy against the evil inclination. and is the counselor who advised God to create human in the creation of the world in order to make him the honored one. Yeah, so everybody really be knowing, and that's why they made it the first books, like they said, like the first five books, so you can't say that you was ignorant of these things. Like, you literally gone, you know about these. You can't say that you missed this if this was the first five books. How are you going to say you didn't read the first five books? So you can't be ignorant of certain laws and stuff like that. And it's also said, continues to say, ritual use. Torah reading is a Jewish religious ritual. And it says Torah reading, Hebrew, Kirat HaTorah, reading of the Torah. And that is spelled K-R-I-A-T space H-A-T-O-R-A-H. It's a Jewish religious ritual that involves the public reading of a set of passages from a Torah scroll. The term often refers to the entire ceremony, removing the Torah scroll or scrolls from the ark, chanting the appropriate excerpt with traditional cantillation, and return the scrolls to the ark. It is distinct from academic Torah study. Shall I go into all of this? Let me see. I'll go into it. Regular public reading of the Torah was introduced by Ezra, E-Z-R-A, the scribe, after the return of the Jewish people from the Babylonian captivity, c. 537-5 CE, as described in the book of Nehemiah. In the modern era, adherents of Orthodox Judaism practice Torah reading according to a set procedure they believe has remained unchanged in the 2,000 years since the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, 70 CE, in the 19th and 20th century CE. New movements such as Reform Judaism and Conservative Judaism have made adaptations to the practice of Torah reading, but the basic pattern of Torah reading has usually remained the same. As a part of the morning prayer services on certain days of the week, fast days and holidays, as well as part of the afternoon prayer service of Shabbat, Yom Kippur, which is Shabbat, S-H-A-B-B-A-T, Yom Kippur is spelled Y-O-M space K-I-P-P-U-R. A section of the Pentateuch is read from a Torah scroll on Shabbat Saturday mornings. A weekly section, Parashas, which is spelled P-A-R-A-S-H-A-H, is read, selected so that the entire Pentateuch is read consecutively each year. The division of parashut found in the modern-day Torah scrolls of all Jewish communities, Ashkenazic, A-S-H-K-E-N-A-Z-I-C, Sephardic, which is S-E-P-H-A-R-D-I-C, and Yemenite, which is spelled Y-E-M-E-N-I-T-E, is based upon the systematic list provided by Maimonides in Mishneh Torah, Maimonides is spelled M-A-I-M-O-N-I-D-E-S. In Mishnah Torah is M-I-S-H-N-E-H Torah. Laws of Tefillin, Mezuzah, and Torah Scrolls, Chapter 8, memorized bases the vision of the parachute for the Torah on the Aleppo Codex. Aleppo is spelled A-L-E-P-P-O. Codex is C-O-D-E-X. Conservative and Reform synagogues may read parachute on a triennial rather than an annual schedule. On Saturday afternoons, Mondays and Thursdays, the beginning of the following Saturday's portion is read. On Jewish holidays, the beginnings of each month and fast days, special sections connected the day are read. Jews observe an annual holiday, Simchat Torah, which is spelled S-I-M-C-H-A-T, Torah, to celebrate the completion and new start of the year's cycle of reading. Torah scrolls are often dressed with a sash, a special Torah cover, various ornaments, and a keter, which is spelled K-E-T-E-R, and it has in parentheses crown. Although such customs vary among synagogues, congregants traditionally stand in respect when the Torah is brought out of the ark to be read, while it is being carried and lifted, and likewise while it is returned to the ark, although they may sit during the reading itself. And real quick, this is a short part, biblical law. The Torah contains narrative statements of law and statements of ethics. Collectively, these laws, usually called biblical law or commandments, are sometimes referred to as the Law of Moses, Torat Mosh, Mosaic Law, or Sinaitic Law. Right, now is that. We're going to go over the Talmud real quick so you can get the show on the road. So, all right, and we're going to get into the Talmud real quick. Talmud, T-A-L-M-U-D. The Talmud is the central text of Rabbinic Judaism and the primary source of Jewish religious law. Halakha, which is spelled H-A-L-A-K-H-A, a Jewish theology. Until the advent of modernity, in nearly all Jewish communities, the Talmud was the centerpiece of Jewish cultural life and was the foundational to all Jewish thought and aspirations, serving also as the judge, serving also as the guide for the daily life of Jews. The term Talmud normally refers to the collection of writings named specifically the Babylonian Talmud, Talmud Bavli, although there is also an earlier collection known as the Jerusalem Talmud, Talmud Yerushalmi. It may also traditionally be called Shas, spelled S-H-A-S, a Hebrew abbreviation of Shisha, Soterim, or the six orders of the Mishnah, M-I-S-H-N-A-H. The Talmud has two components, the Mishnah, C-200 CE, a written compendium of the Oral Torah, and the Gemara, 1500 CE, an elucidation of the Mishnah and related Tanaitic, which is spelled T-A-N-N-A-I-T-I-C, writings that often ventures onto other subjects and expounds broadly on the Hebrew Bible. The term Talmud may refer to either the Gemara, which the Gemara is spelled G-E-M-A-R-A, alone of the Mishnah, and Jerma together. The entire Talmud consists of 63 tractates, and in the standard print called the Vilna Shas, there are 2,711 double-sided folios. It is written in Mishneiot, Hebrew and Jewish, Babylonian, Aramaic, and contains the teaching and opinions of thousands of rabbis, dating from before the Common Era through to the 5th century on a variety of subjects, including halakha, Jewish ethics, philosophy, customs, history, and folklore, and many other topics. The Talmud is the basis for all codes of Jewish law and is widely quoted in rabbinic literature. And yeah, that was the Talmud. Yeah, that was the Talmud. So, which is spelled T-A-L-M-U-D. And that's the, in rabbinic Judaism, the primary source of Jewish religious law. And it also was served as the guide for the daily life of Jews. And we do see hands up inside the chat. We only can take one person, though. I seeing this one while I was reading, keep coming in and out. So last digits is 72. The last digits is 7122. Peace. Seven, one, two, two, you there?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I've been here.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, man. I love what you're doing, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's educational, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's
talking
right.
Information, you know what I'm saying? But anyway,
I appreciate
it, I want to learn about them 5 books you was talking about, and where can I find them?
Yeah, so you could the Pentateuch, the 5 books, like they said, it's the books of the Old Testament, but you can also like go into the Hebrew version, but it'll also translate it into English as well, so. You can just search that up.
Okay.
Oh, let me. Matter of fact, let me search. Let me search it for you real quick. I'll search it up right now. All right. So I typed in. And it's real vague, but I'm pretty sure this will help. And it says, I typed in Hebrew Torah English. That's the only thing I say, Hebrew Torah English. Just those 3 words. And when you see some links, you're going to see links that says Torah in English and Hebrew. And it says transliterate. Now, when you're doing your research and everything, to make sure that you're on the right path, Go through like 3 different sources, not 2, but 3 different sources, and see if it's in Hebrew and it's translated, and if it's saying along the same lines as what it, you know, is translated to. If anything's off, then one of those is wrong. But normally, if it's saying like the same thing, it means that is correct, to be honest.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for the knowledge.
Hold on, brother. You could go on Google Podcast as well. I don't know if you'd be on Google Podcast, and you could type in For the Love of Commerce. We on there as well. Got a lot of informational stuff, not only about, you know, this is Historical Mondays. This is really a new series that we got going on the show where we do every Mondays. But we do got Financial Fridays where we go into financial literacy on a high scale. It's not taken for granted, where we go into trust and trustees and protecting assets and preserving and family wealth, like real family wealth. Also, we go over health on a high scale. All of these is not like low stuff, you know, like Dr. Sebi, you know, alkaline. Yeah. Right. We go into that as well. So we're not going into low stuff on the show. We're trying to give like the high quality of stuff. We don't go over the inferior information, like the small information. But yeah, brother, I appreciate you tuning into the show and raising your hand and actually coming online and, you know, communicating, brother.
Yeah, I'm going to tune in every, you know what I'm saying?
Bro, just let us know. Come in whenever you want to. You know what I'm saying? Just listen to the archive. I think you will like it for sure.
I know. I love it. That's on, man.
Sir, I appreciate it. But to wrap up the show, really appreciate you coming in and chatting with us. But we're about to end the show. J-Rock, you got anything to say, God?
God, man, it was a magnificent show. You know what I'm saying? Like, you did your thing as far as what the teaching is concerned. And I do appreciate that caller for calling in and actually, you know what I'm saying, getting on the line with us. Man, we hope that you tune in with us, like you said, man, every Sunday, Monday, Tuesdays, and Fridays, you know what I'm saying, as we, man, gather up more and more information. We're going to put as much information out there as the people desire. Nah, man, wonderful show, God, wonderful show, man. I know we have Health Tuesday tomorrow, so we would definitely be bringing some information about a different type of herb or, you know, something dealing with health. So, man, we ask that the listeners check in with us tomorrow as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Thank you, caller. Appreciate you as much as possible. And you know what? We're going to close out the show. See y'all tomorrow on Health Tuesday. Peace to the gods.
Da 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 na 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 na.